Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Markets. Just for you, digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. When my son, who's sitting next to me, came home on Sunday, he asked me what happened in the Saturday game against Toronto. Like, what happened? Because every game had been so competitive until that point. And I told him, and I thought this was the only wisdom I could impart, because it was what Max and I have been saying for most of the night. Sometimes it's the other guy's night.
Yeah, listen, I think that we, you know, we had played a number of good offensive games in a row. Sometimes when you're in that rhythm and the other team comes in and they're ready for a rock fight, that they take you out of it with their physicality and their grit and their toughness. And I thought that's what happened the other night from my perspective. I thought they were the instigator. They were the better team. And they didn't let off the gas all 48 minutes.
A common theme has been how there are all these 20-point leads now in the league, and then the inevitable comeback that comes, that there's a human nature element to when you have a big lead. Does winning make it harder to, I don't know if get a team's attention is where I'm going, but does winning mask the stuff that is starting to creep up that eventually is going to hurt you?
My question for you is that new? Like, ever since I've been in the league, I feel like that's been the case, but I'm guessing that you've been in the league a lot longer, that's not new.
Well, I would say big leads and the comebacks, the point is that there are so many more possessions
and
now.
The three-pointers.
And the possession everybody's shooting, that a 25-point lead,
right,
even in my time in the league, 15 years ago, coming from, I looked this up recently because I keep track of leads and comebacks.
And silly stats
to waste time.
Kind of meaningless. Yep.
That's what social media is for.
It's good to stay up at night thinking about that stuff.
That's exactly right. That's what he does. That's why I'm training him to take over the family business.
Hey, but right before you go to sleep, think of one more stat. Go ahead.
To squeeze in.
Yeah. Obviously, what are we talking about?
Point being that a 15-point lead 15 years ago was much safer statistically than it is now. That is kind of the point. So, again, you avoided answering the actual question, which is, does winning mask little things that are going wrong that you might need to correct?
Human nature's human. Yeah. You know, there's a reason why it's called human nature. And to be great, you have to be able to stay in the moment. And what happened yesterday, whether good or bad, cannot affect how you perform against the competition. Now, that's the difference between, you know, being in a physical sport where somebody else is trying to beat you and just being in everyday life. Like, from a coaching standpoint, it's a lot easier for me to say it than to be the one that has to go out and do it every 82 games, right? And so you have to be so locked in, so engaged, and so ready every night, or you'll get beat. And I think that you look across the league in all these different games, there's always good examples of that every night.
Charlotte is a team that, even from the team we saw 9 days ago, because P.J. Washington is back, it's been different. James Borrego has had to play a ton of different lineups because there isn't much separation on the roster. And obviously, I would imagine that seems pretty familiar to you from your first 2 years, where it was never really obvious from night to night.
Yeah, I think that's right. The difference between my first 2 years and here that I've seen, and I've talked to Ron Nord about this, his assistant some, you know, they've got some young guys that you think will be here for a long time, right? We had Smart and a couple of others that ended up being here for a few years, but we really, you know, 5 years later don't have anyone other than Smart from that team. So it was a little bit unique because some of our picks via the Brooklyn trade and our own were going to come down the road. You know, these guys have picked bridges. They've picked Washington. They've signed Rozier to a long contract. They found a gem in Graham. You know, so they've got a number of guys that you can see them building with over the course of time. And I think that's probably what went into the Kimba decision last summer. And we're fortunate that you know, we were able to get him as a result of that.
And while there are flashes, obviously they haven't been as consistent as you would expect with a young team trying to figure out pieces. We got a pretty good glimpse firsthand 9 days ago of what they're offensively capable of in that first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, they play the right way. They're really well coached. Spacing's great. Very creative. They try to take advantage of matchups. They will try to post our smalls. They'll try to spread out our bigs and pick and rolls. And so they take advantage of where we need to be focused and great on a night-to-night basis. And so that's something that we have to be good at today. We showed a ton of clips, probably three times as many as usual, of transition defense and pick-and-roll defense from our last two games. because I wanted the guys to see, like, it wasn't just the Toronto game where you saw some slippage. It started in the Cleveland game, and we got to get back to being what we want to be.
Speaking of late-night useless research, and you mentioned Ronald earlier, and we just came over on the bus with Gordon. 10 years ago today, I don't know if you know this or not, at the Fieldhouse, you beat Green Bay. And in that game, you had just come off a loss to Alabama Birmingham.
UAB.
Yeah. See, I knew you remember the losses.
Yep.
But not
I remember that whole week.
Well, I'm sure you do. But what I can't imagine you could have had any idea at the time was that that game, the Green Bay game, would begin 10 years ago today, the 25-game winning streak that would bring you into the national championship game.
And ultimately, you know, one of the biggest reasons why I'm here, right? I just really, really fortunate to be surrounded by great people. That was every season has its own story. And that season, we were picked top 10 in the preseason. We had a number of guys back, and we were really good. But we were 8-4 and had not committed to playing at the level we wanted to play at. And, you know, it was interesting because the start of that season reminded me some of last year with our team. But those guys were able to turn it around, get going, and that game that you mentioned started it all off. So it is unbelievable to think back to it. But if you asked both Ron and Gordon about that week, they would probably remember it because it was like, we better get back to who we are. And there were some hard practices over that Christmas break.
And this is perspective. My son was not alive when the final game happened, and for the first time, he had never seen it. So we watched the final minute of the national championship game today.
Why, Jack? Watch the first 39. You know? That's what we always said. That's what I always said when I was watching the Animal Channel. I always watched the chase of the lion chasing the prey all the way until it caught it. So that's the way we watched the Duke game at our house. Jack, so tell me, this is your first decade. What's your favorite part of the decade?
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't have any favorite part.
How about just being here? Or hanging out with your dad at an NBA game. How about that? No?
Yeah. Well, the good news is you're not spoiled.
Not in any way.
Nobody would trade spots with you, Jack. Just kidding. You got a good one. But this decade's going to be even better, buddy.
I got a feeling it will for all of us. What do you think, bud?
What?
What?
As you can see, attention span already keen heading into the new decade. Celtics and Hornets next on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.